The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I am E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of your own terrifying imagination. Since the beginning of time, people have argued about the existence of ghosts. They've been called variously wraiths, specters, phantoms, apparitions, shadows or shades. But everyone agrees that if there are such things as ghosts, they are the souls of dead persons haunting living persons. And that's what our story is about. Ghosts.
No one, Mr. Garth, whether professional ghost hunters or ordinary people, have ever been able to spend an entire night in that house.
Well, how many have tried, Mr. Flanders?
Well, I know of at least a dozen. And that's within the past 2 years.
Well, did you get any reports from the professionals?
Most sketchy ones. But they all say the same thing. That whatever or whoever it is that haunts that house, the manifestations are the most powerful and evil in their experience. They all mention nameless horrors.
Our mystery drama, A Ghostly Game of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars William Prince. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You don't see many people putting salt in their beer nowadays. Not that there's anything wrong with salt on radishes or French fries, but man, not in the king of beers. Truth is, the only thing salt can do for Budweiser is make it salty. An unwise thing to do to the only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Unsalted Budweiser has become the most popular beer in the world. That's because in brewing Bud, the Budweiser brewmaster goes all the way for a taste, a smoothness, a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. And something else you can take without a grain of salt. The fact that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
When you've been babysitting as long as I have, Dewey, off the couch. You get to know parents just by the toys they give their kids. Well, take the people down the block. They let their 6-year-old roller skate in the street. And the 4-year-old plays with a hardwood baseball bat. I mean, parents should choose toys their kids are old enough to handle. Then supervise their using them. Think about it. I mean, they're your kids.
Toy safety isn't child's play. It's up to you. A public service message from the Food and Drug Administration Bureau of Product Safety.
Horrors. A nice phrase. But as soon as you put a name and identity to horrors, somehow they prove bearable. In the last century, people have shown that they can and do bear up under mass genocide and atomic bombings. But the horror that is nameless, that is the most fearful of all. And our spine tingler will try to put a name to one kind of horror.
You are not real. There are no such things as ghosts. I'm just imagining things. But
I see you. I see you. No, don't. Don't hurt me. Whatever you are, please, stay away from me. You want me to leave the house? I will. I will, if that's what you want. Just please let me by. I'll go right down the stairs, walk out of the house, and never come back. Is that what you want? Please. No! Don't touch me! Let me out!
Suicide. That's what all the papers say, Mr. Garth. But we know better. It's ghosts. That house is haunted.
Mr. Flanders, my field of study is the supernatural. But I can't even begin to tell you whether I can help or not until you get control of yourself.
I'm sorry, but this whole thing is just about putting our firm out of business.
What of the house, Mr. Flanders? Do you have anything on the history of the house?
Yes. It was built in the early 1800s by a sea captain named Ephraim Hatch for himself and his bride, a young lady named Lucy Endicott. And they lived in it for some 4 years until the tragedy.
Mm-hmm. You have the details?
Well, Captain Hatch was supposedly a hellraiser in his youth, but also a great seafaring man. He was in whaling and, if the rumors are true, slave trading. At any rate, he amassed a fortune. He fell in love with this Endicott girl who was the town beauty, married her, settled down, and built this house.
Mm-hmm. The tragedy.
Well, the story goes, as nearly as we can piece it together, that the captain returned from one of his voyages earlier than expected and found his bride entertaining a lover. He killed them both. Horribly. And ever since, the house has been haunted and unlivable. We're building a condominium. This house is a key location. We can't even get wreckers to tear it down. No one will go near the place.
Well, you keep telling me that no one has lived in the house. What about this girl who just died there?
Oh, that was a stupid idea of my partner's. Her name was Roberta Gindley, a television reporter. She wanted to make a name for herself, and my partner sold me on the idea that if she spent a night in the house and then went on television and told people about it, our problems would be solved. And now we're in a worse mess than before. That's why we came to you. Well, there you are, gentlemen. The haunted house.
Well, is it always this windy, Mr. Flanders?
No, Mr. Kelly. Only when the wind blows from the east off the ocean.
Well, for a haunted house, it looks substantial enough.
Well, shall we go up to the house, Mr. Flanders?
Why don't you two go? I'll wait for you here.
You'll be quite safe, Mr. Flanders. It's broad daylight. Jim Kelly here has been with me in more haunted places and dealt with more ghosts than any man, except myself.
And don't forget Byron. Byron is my dog, Mr. Flanders. And like me, he doesn't believe in ghosts. Huh? Do you, Byron?
I'm not scared, gentlemen. It's just that I've seen the house so many times, Well, I don't want to influence you.
Suit yourself.
Let's go, Byron.
Bring all our gifts in?
Well, it's back at the motel. We won't need it until tonight. Wow. They certainly built solid houses in the old days. Look at this door.
What?
Take it easy, Byron. Boy, everything's okay. You got the keys.
Right here?
All right, in we go. In we go. Come on now, Byron. Come on. We're on our way to meet the ghost.
Tim, keep Byron quiet.
Sit, Byron. Come on, sit.
I don't think we should bother the downstairs. Let's go up and see where we're going to sleep tonight.
All right, I'm with you. Come along, Byron.
Oh, this looks like the master's bedroom. I'll sleep here.
And I'll sleep in this little alcove here, right off your room. Byron, what is the matter with you?
I wouldn't try to take him into that alcove, Tim. He can stay in this room with me tonight.
All right. Hey, there's a door here leading outside to what you call the widow's walk. Want to come out and look around?
I'll be right with you. Just checking the fireplace. Gonna need logs.
Okay.
Where's the door?
Ah, it's right here.
Hasn't been open in a long time.
Now, what a view. Look at that ocean. Any woman waiting out here to see her husband's ship come in might be blown away.
From what Flanders tells, the captain's wife wasn't too anxious for her husband to return.
That's right. She was too busy entertaining her lover.
Now you go over the rail.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Garth. You hadn't caught me, I would have gone over.
What happened?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. I don't know. I lost my balance.
Come on, Tim. We know each other better than that.
What happened?
I really don't know, Alex. I swear, I thought someone pushed me.
Mr. Garth, I'm not at all sure I'm doing the right thing, and I'll understand if you don't want to go through with this. I'll pay all your expenses to date.
You're concerned about my safety?
Yes. A real estate deal is important, but not that important.
Mr. Flanders, you'll have nothing on your conscience. Tim and I will spend tonight in the house, and by tomorrow, the ghost should be at rest.
And you think there is a ghost?
Well, of course. I just don't believe in its malevolence. Have you taken care of the wooden logs for the fireplaces?
The men wouldn't go into the house, but you'll find plenty of firewood outside the door.
Fine. Then I'll be on my way.
I've never seen Byron act like this.
Something to think about.
Well, I've been with you on about 50 of these haunted house deals. You think there's something different about this one?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
Well, I've heard that sort of moan before. According to you, Alex, it's a ghost in pain.
It is.
Sounds like the evening's entertainment is about to start.
Tim?
Yes, Alex?
We've worked together for a long time, and we get along so well because I respect your disbelief in the supernatural.
Yeah, which has come in handy when I uncovered a few tape recorders and other little fake devices.
Right. But for your own sake, Tim, there's something about this house that seems different. Now, please, be careful.
Huh? You're trying to scare me?
Oh, I don't think that's possible.
Right. Now, how about some wood for my fire? Whoever you are, if you're trying to scare us, it's not going to work. You know, in all the years we've been working together, Alex, I've yet to see a ghost.
But you've heard them.
Oh, so you tell me. You talk with them. I just hear noises, and sometimes they're man-made.
Mm-hmm, and sometimes not.
Would you strike a match, please? Ah, that's better. Get some of the chill off the room.
Yeah, fireplaces always seem to make a room more cheerful.
The electricity must have been installed around, I guess the turn of the century, huh?
Well, I've seen brighter lights, but at least we have lights.
And candles. Oh, did I share mine with you?
No, I have a supply back in my room.
Oh, all right. Ah, here we go again. Spirit rapping. Oh, now I've made it angry.
Shut up. Listen to me. Whoever you are, my name is Alex Garth. I would like to help you, but I can't unless...
Doesn't want to talk to you, evidently, Alex.
We'll see. Although you're my friend in the lie, you are often a disturbing influence.
Now, I won't deny that I'm an unbeliever. So I'll turn in now that the fire's going. You can go back to your side of the room and commune with the spirits.
And with each other, Tim. We'll check with each other, as we always do. Oh, quiet, Byron. It's all right, boy. It's all right. Oh, trust me, Byron. Ah, you like your ears rubbed.
Sleep with all that racket going on? Has Byron gone bananas?
Well, I'm trying to quiet him. Easy, boy, easy. It's all over. Tim,
Is there any way we can get Byron out of here? He's beginning to fog the mouth. He's covered with perspiration.
Well, I don't want to let him out now. He'll just get lost. He'll get over it when he sees nothing's happening. Hey.
What?
My lights just went out. How are yours?
Going. Gone.
Easy, boy. Easy.
I know you're in trouble. Please, let me help you. If you show yourself, I could help you. I've helped others. Believe me. Is your name Lucy? Lucy Endicott? If you are Lucy, would you rap twice? Can you?
Byron, come here, I say.
Lucy, you're frightening a dumb animal. You're not frightening me. I'm sure you don't want to terrify a beast. He's never done you any harm.
Byron, come here. Come out of that corner. Come to me. Come on, good luck. Do good. Come on.
Alex, the fire's going out in here. So we go to the candles. You've plenty of matches, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm fine, but I'm really worried about Byron.
Oh, somebody's playing games. I'd try to find the fuse box if I could, but... Hey.
What is it, Jim?
Well, whoever's at the controls is pretty good. A nice cold gust of wind just blew out the match I was using to light the candle.
Well, I've got a couple of candles lit. You want one?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm not scared of the dark. Ah. Pounding. That's a new one, isn't it, Alex?
It's new to me. It isn't spirit rapping.
Sounds like someone wants in.
You want to go down and open the door?
Oh, no chance. Hey, Alex, is your side of the room rocking like a boat?
I'm steady as a rock.
Was that Byron?
Yes.
Well, what happened?
I'm not sure. He's dead, Tim.
What?
His neck seems to have been broken. Tim, did you hear me? I said Byron is dead. Tim, are you all right? Tim, what is it?
Run for your life.
Man has his own nightmare, something from which he will run, driven by the secret whips of his own fears. But I suspect that Alex Garth could not tell you what it was that Tim Kelly ran from that night in the house that faced the sea. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Hi, son.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Junior.
Kellogg's Special K presents Junior Gives Up.
Junior, why aren't you eating your Special K? It's your favorite cereal.
Oh, just cause.
Just cause why, honey?
Just cause Darla said some evil things about it. That's just cause why.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Darla. Hi, Sis.
Hi, Junior.
Darla, what did you tell Junior about his Special K?
Daddy, all I told him was that Special K is good for him.
Yeah, and anything that's good for me never seems to taste good.
But, Junior, you already know that Special K tastes good.
Oh, do I believe? Darla, or my taste buds.
What's that, son?
Oh, nothing, Dad.
Son, Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It's got minerals, vitamins, iron, and all those good, nutritious things. But it got to be so popular over the years because it tastes good, too.
You mean it's good for me and tastes good, too.
Right, son.
Right, Dad.
Right, Junior.
Right,
Dad. Right, indeed. Start your balanced breakfast with Kellogg's Special K. It's nutritious and delicious.
Right, Dad.
Maureen Stapleton and Martin Balsam.
What you reading, honey?
A chessbook, and I'm lost. Listen, white move, rook to king one was a strategical error, permitting black to exchange the queen bishops with the next move.
I can't get into chess. I just learned what it means to flood a zone with receivers, leaving a linebacker one-on-one with a fleet-footed flanker.
Football's violent chess.
Here's something else I'd like you to read. It's a booklet called High Blood Pressure. I picked it up at the Heart Association. And it says, high blood pressure has no constant symptoms. And if it goes undetected and untreated, it can lead to heart attacks, stroke, and kidney problems. Only a doctor can tell if you have it.
Your concern over my health, does that mean that you like me as a person?
I always considered you a wonderful human being, so I made you an appointment for a checkup.
Okay. Queen the King One.
What's that mean?
Come here and find out, baby.
You and your loved one should find out what your blood pressure is. Have it checked. Another way to protect your loved ones is to give to the Heart Fund. Make heart health your number one cause.
Alex Garth, authority on the supernatural, has undertaken to spend a night in a house so demon-ridden that workmen have even refused to tear it down. Deserted by his friend and ally, Tim Kelly, who fled in terror from unknown fears, Garth knew that he had to face the rest of the night alone as the heavy outer door boomed closed behind Tim Kelly.
I promise not to run away like my friend. You'll never find peace unless you let me help you. There can be no rest for you except through me. Do you think you're being punished for some sin you committed when you were alive? That isn't you. Is it, Lucy? Please, let me help you. I will not let you in, and I will not leave this house. Rocking the room doesn't frighten me. I'm not afraid.
Mr. Coggins! We've split a tough gallon. Keep her steady or I'll kill you! That letter I received in Trinidad tells me that my Lucy, my wife, is it carrying on under the roof of the house that I built for her with young John Rogers? So, Mr. Coggins, we're going to drive for home and to hell with the storm.
Nightmares. We've all experienced them. But I venture to say that none of us has experienced the horrible sights, shapes, and sounds that Alex Garth saw and heard in that dark room of the haunted house for the next hour. And when he still held hard to his sanity and what remained of his courage, the apparitions changed in character. Garth no longer knew what was real and what was fantasy. He later told me that he may even have fallen asleep, hard as that may be to believe.
Alex? Alex Garth?
Lucy?
I am Lucy. Am I not fair, Alex Garth?
Yes.
Even beautiful?
Very beautiful.
Would you not like to touch me, Alex?
Even if I wanted to, I could not.
You think I am cold and repulsive. That is what you think. John? Tell Alex how nice I am to touch.
You are very nice to the touch, Lucy.
Was John your lover?
You do nothing but ask questions, Alex Garth.
What should I do, Lucy?
Make me feel once more the touch of a man. A man you love. And...
Lucy, you're in torment. I can only give you peace.
Torment? Why should I be unhappy? I live here in my house and... Of course, we were naughty, John and I. We tried to frighten you. But that was only because I don't like strangers in my home. Apologize to Alex, John.
This is a childish game you're playing, Lucy.
But I adore games. I love games. Come, dance a minuet with me, Alex. Isn't the music lovely, Alex?
I don't dance the minuet, Lucy.
John, you dance with me. This was how John and I first met. Doesn't he dance beautifully, Alex?
Very beautifully.
Remember, John? Remember how you looked at me that night?
Yes. And that old witch Hannah saw it and wrote the letter to your husband.
Oh, not then, John. It was much later. Look at me that way again, John. Oh, you're no fun. No fun anymore at all, John. Alex, you come and dance with me.
No, thank you.
You are afraid, Alex.
Yes, I am afraid.
John, you heard. He is afraid.
I said I was afraid, Lucy, but not terrified.
Fiddlesticks. You play with words, Alex Garth.
And you want me to play ghostly games with death, don't you, Lucy?
Alex. Alex Garth. Wake up.
I wasn't asleep.
You are here to drive me from my home.
Are you happy in your home, Lucy?
I will not leave. You shall fail. Others have tried. Would you like to see what happened to those others? I have a mirror you can look into in my room, just down the hall. Look in that mirror if you dare.
I think I've been given a fairly good idea already.
Leave this house, Alex. For your own sake, leave.
Tomorrow morning, Lucy.
Tomorrow will be too late.
Dizzy. My head's going around.
Sit down. Sit down, Alex Garth. The room will stop spinning. There. That's better, isn't it?
I'm still dizzy.
I warned you. Now, Alex Garth, now, look at me.
Good Lord!
You do not find me beautiful now, Alex Garth. Not now with the blood flowing from the wounds inflicted on me by my husband when he murdered me.
Not murdered? Executed.
You would not like to kiss me now, Alex Garth.
Stay where you are.
You need not worry about my blood staining your clothes. It will not even show.
Stay away! Stay away!
I warned you, Alex Garth. You think no one would wish to embrace me now, with the cuts and wounds and blood disfiguring me. Is that what you think?
I am not listening!
Someone will wish to kiss me. Someone who loves me.
I will kiss you, Lucy. I will embrace you.
And I will embrace you, John, my love. Even with the blood flowing from your poor
ears. I can't look. I can't.
It will do you no good to put your hands over your eyes, Alex. You will still see the bloodied lovers kiss.
No, I won't witness this horror. My thoughts are mine. And they're real. You're phantoms and you don't exist.
For many we don't. But you know that we do. We are here. And we are real. And the only way you can banish us from your mind's eye is to run. Run, as your wise friend did. Run, and you'll see us no more.
No. No, Lucy. I am not leaving this house.
This is the carriage bearing me to the burial ground, Alex. If you open your eyes, you can see into the coffin. The undertaker did a fine job. I looked almost as pretty as I did before I died. I was wearing the dress you see me in, Alex, and the only mourner following the carriage was my mother, the only person in the town who wasn't afraid of my husband's wrath, the only person who didn't believe I was a wanton. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Everyone feared Captain Hatch. And you, Lucy, most of all, you still fear him.
No. Oh, why won't you go?
Like you, Lucy, I am bound.
How bound?
By my knowledge, by my pride, by knowing if I leave now,
I've failed.
You have stayed longer than anyone.
Not long enough.
You mustn't stay. What you have seen is... it will be worse and dangerous for you. Even more dangerous.
You mean you're afraid for me?
Yes.
Why?
You really don't know.
Of course not.
But you've seen John. Have you not noticed that you are very alike?
Well, I really hadn't looked that closely.
Would you?
No, I believe you.
Then you must see how dangerous it is for you now.
Then help me.
I cannot.
If you would trust me and tell me what the control is, I could help.
You're very wise, Alex, but this is something beyond your wisdom.
Try me.
It's impossible. I am held here by forces stronger than yours.
How do you know what my powers are?
I told you, you are not the first who has been here, but you are the bravest, and your courage will destroy you.
Who's this?
Kelly. Tim Kelly.
Where are you?
Boston.
What are you doing?
Mr. Flanders, I owe an apology. But I owe Alex a lot more than that. Mr. Flanders, you've got to get Alex out of that house.
What happened?
Just get him out.
It's 4:00 in the morning. Kelly, you woke me up. I'm not quite functioning yet. What did you see? What's in that house?
Demons.
I thought you didn't believe in ghosts.
No, I believe in evil. Mr. Flanders, in that house, you can actually feel the presence of evil. It's all around you, and it's dangerous.
Now, listen, Kelly, Garth knew what he was getting into. It's up to him to handle it.
I tell you, his life is at stake.
Well, if you're convinced of that, then it's up to you to do something about it. Not to run away.
You speak to me of powers, Alex Garth. Yet you are afraid to test them.
What kind of test do you propose?
The mirror. The mirror in my room.
Let's go. Well, come on.
Oh, I'm warning you, Alex Garth.
Wait a second.
Your death machine will not help you.
Death machine? Oh, you mean the revolver.
Call it what you like. It spits fire and noise and has been used stupidly by stupid people against us. Surely you know better, Alex Garth.
No, it gives me something to hold on to. Come on.
You could try to hold on to me.
This is your room?
You fear to go in?
Well, I'm wondering what it is about this room that... This is the room Tim ran out of, isn't it?
The mirror is over here. Now, look in the mirror, Alex Garth. Look well. See, Alex Garth?
Is that you, Lucy?
It is I, Alex. As a very young girl.
And your schoolmates? Who are they?
Schoolmates.
Is John among them?
Look. Look in the mirror.
I can't make out the faces. Now you're grown. I can't. Oh! No! No!
Mirror, mirror on the wall. What did the hunter of ghosts, Alex Garth, see in the mirror that so terrified him, he lost his head and shot at the images in the glass? I'll be back shortly to tell you what Garth saw when I return with Act 3.
Fantastic, wonderful, great. These are some of the adjectives you've used in your letters to describe our new radio dramas. I am Hi Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater, and that's exactly what I think about you, our audience. Fantastic, wonderful, great, for all your applause and your good wishes. We ask for entries in a drawing for prizes, and the mail has been slightly colossal. But what I find most helpful is your appreciation of the whole radio mystery theater idea. I wish I could thank each of you with an individual letter. But many of you also ask questions, and these we would like to answer. So, to save time, please, if you have a query, try us again now that the drawing is over. Address, Mystery Theater, Box 5152, Radio City Station, New York, 10019.
I'm Cliff Robertson, and I made a picture not long ago called Charlie, where I played the part of a man who was mentally retarded. I'd like to tell you a little of what I learned. Thousands and thousands of mentally retarded children are born each year. It can happen to any family, rich or poor. It makes no difference. Except some children are luckier than others. Some kids can be just a little slow in learning. But some will never learn much of anything at all. But every one of them can be helped, and that perhaps is the most important thing that I found out. These kids have a right to a chance to learn as much about how to live a normal life as they can. The National Association for Retarded Children and its nearly 1,500 local associations are helping to give them that chance. Will you help, too, by supporting the work of your local association for retarded children? Thank you.
Some people believe in ghosts, some very thoughtful people. There are others who say if you believe in ghosts, you will see ghosts. And Alex Garth, expert on the supernatural, is not only seeing, but talking to ghosts. As experienced and as cool a ghost hunter as Alex Garth has just committed the childish act of firing his revolver into a mirror, shattering the glass into a million pieces, and doing the same to his composure.
Stupid. Stupid, stupid. Breaking the mirror isn't going to change anything, Alex Garth. The only thing you can do is leave.
I'm not leaving, Lucy, until dawn.
If you stay, your mind becomes a mirror. A mirror for all the things you don't want to look at.
Well, if I have to look, I will.
Then farewell, Alex Garth. You and I will see each other, but we can no longer talk until you join us.
Join you?
You are doomed. You will join John and me here in my home for all eternity. And God help you, Alex Garth, because I no longer can.
Lucy. Lucy, is that you? Lucy, my darling, my love, I must go now.
No, no. Please stay a little longer. Just a little longer, dear heart.
Why did you marry him, Lucy?
You went away, John, my love. You left and never said a word.
How could I, Lucy? You know I didn't have a penny.
You could have told me you loved me.
You knew that. You knew it all the time we were growing up.
Sometimes when people grow up, they change, John. And I was afraid you no longer cared for me.
That's why you married the captain?
I didn't want to be an old maid.
Oh, there was no chance of that.
I was afraid. I was afraid, John. And he was so strong. John, I'm going to have a child.
What?
I'm going to have a baby, John. Your baby.
You're sure?
I'm sure.
Then we have to leave. You must come away with me, Lucy.
Where will we go?
West. To a new place. For a fresh start. Somewhere where Ephraim can't find us.
There is no such place.
Of course there is. Lucy, you know what will happen if Ephraim discovers that...
Ephraim won't be home for at least a week. He was in Trinidad the last I heard...
Lucy! Lucy, it's me. Your husband. Come on down and unbolt the door.
Oh, no.
What do we do?
Hide. I won't let him in.
Where?
Anywhere. Quick. There. In my wardrobe. Behind my gown.
Lucy.
Coming, Ephraim. Just getting my robe.
Don't be wasting your time, Lucy. It's been 4 months since I've seen you last. All right, Lucy. Where is he?
Who?
John Rogers, your lover.
Have you gone mad, Ephraim?
Aye, maybe. Mad with jealousy.
Oh.
Stop lying and tell me where he is.
You're hurting me.
Aye, and I'll be hurting you a lot more unless you tell me where he is.
Who put those terrible ideas into your head?
The Widow Davies, that's who.
And you believe that old gossip?
Tell me she lies. Tell me.
She lies.
Aye. Lie there and snivel whilst I roust out your fancy man from wherever he's cowering.
There's no one here, Ephraim. God is my witness. No one here at all.
Well, for your sake, I hope you're right. But the widow told me she saw him sneaking into this house tonight.
She lied. She lied.
Maybe. And now, how about your wardrobe?
Ephraim! I am with child.
Get up on your feet.
This child is yours, Ephraim. Your child.
You think I'll have my wife carrying another man's child? No.
Oh, you'll be killing your own child.
Liar. Cheat. Stop. Stop. He's here. The man who got you with child. Then come here and stop me. Come on.
No. You know I can't do that.
Can't? You mean you won't?
You know as well as I do that I've never had anything to do with your wife. Just as you know very well who I am, what I'm trying to do here.
Then do it. I'll match my blade against your pistol anytime.
Captain.
No, John. No.
So, you came out at last, did you? Now, tell me how you like your face to steel.
Here, have another drink, Garth. You look as if you need it.
Flanders, there isn't enough liquor in the world to warm me. Not after what I saw at your house.
Then it is haunted.
By ghosts beyond anything in my experience.
Can you help me?
I hope so, but I'm not sure. I managed to stay the night, and I barely managed to survive. There's one room in the house that seems to be the focal point of all the manifestations. That's the room I believe was occupied by Captain Hatch's young wife, Lucy. That's the room from which Tim ran last night. And that's the room in which I saw things no man should ever have to see.
And you propose
to hire some workmen?
Oh, that's impossible. I told you what happened when I had work.
I can understand why no workmen from around this area will go near the place. I intend to import a couple of men I've used before.
Well, you could try it, but what would you want them to do?
To dig into and around that room and see if we can find something that will account for the hauntings.
We?
Well, you and I will be with them.
Correction. I hired you, Garth. You'll be with them. And report back to me. Hello?
Flanders, this is Hollis Garth. I'm calling you from a diner just down the road from the house.
With good news?
With news. My workman walked out.
Well, that's that.
If you want that house cleansed, all I ask is you meet me there in half an hour.
Well, why do you need me?
Well, for two reasons. One, I don't know what may have to be done to the house, which is your property. And two, I don't think one man can do all the necessary digging that may have to be done.
Oh, I see what you mean about this room, hmm?
Yeah, we'll try not to think about this house or the stories about it. Just hand me that hammer.
What do you want with a hammer?
I want to test these walls, floors.
And if there's a secret passage or some nonsense like that?
Well, I don't know what there is, but there must be something. You'll have to take my word for it that what goes on in this house isn't an ordinary lost or restless spirit seeking solace. It's something that's planned and controlled.
How?
That's what I hope to find out.
Ah!
Here.
You found something.
I think so. Listen.
That sounds hollow.
Yes. And the further down you go towards the floor, the hollower it sounds. Hand me that crowbar.
Well, maybe we should let things be.
Not if you want to rid the house of the ghosts.
Well, what will we find?
Lord knows. Here goes.
I know. Wait. Can't you handle us without me?
You scared?
Well, I think I'd feel better if I stepped outside.
Be over in a minute.
I don't think I'm going to be able to stand this.
Well, just think of something else. You get a thought, you hold on to it.
Well, I can only think of the sea and the storm and the ship driving and a woman.
Flanders, hold on to me. Hang on. And look. Look, there's nothing down there but a room. Look for yourself.
God, why should I be so terrified? Why do I want to run?
There are steps. Come on.
No, you want me to go down there?
Come on, it's only an empty room.
I'm not so sure it's empty.
Come on. Steady now.
What's that?
It's a table.
There's something on it.
I know. Let's see.
It's just a plain saucer.
Yeah, the saucer's plain. But look what's in it.
What is that stuff?
Well, I'm not sure, but it looks to me like... or something like mercury. I'll bet there's mercury in it. We'll have to have it analyzed.
What's that on top of it?
A needle.
Look at it spin.
I see. But don't you see anything else?
No.
Well, look under the saucer.
Looks like a slip of paper.
It does indeed. Let's have a look at it, if I can get it out without disturbing the... There we are.
There's writing on it. What does it say?
As moves this needle, so moves my will. Accursed be this house and all who dwell therein. See to it that they find neither rest nor tranquility, but be doomed to eternal agony and torment beyond the ken of man and woman. To which I affix my seal and signature, Ephraim Hatch, master of the schooner Lucy.
Do you mean to tell me that this piece of paper, that saucer of liquid and a needle...
Look out! The saucer! Be careful! Oh. Quick, the ladder! Hurry, Flanders!
The smoke! I can't breathe!
It's the ladder! Quickly! I'm right behind you!
How do you say thanks to a man who saved your life?
Oh, don't bother. You wouldn't have been down there in the first place if I hadn't insisted. I owed it to you to get you out of there.
Garth.
Yes?
I want to explain about my upsetting the saucer. I wouldn't say this to anyone except you, but... I swear that something pushed my hand. Do you believe that?
Yes, Flanders, I believe it. And now your house is cleansed. The fire will see to that.
For those of you who are skeptical about the existence of such things as ghosts, I have a suggestion. Find a house reputed to be haunted. and spend the night there. And then let me know about it. I'll be back shortly.
In 1919, someone had a big idea. Let's help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own. And Junior Achievement was born. That year, 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, Junior Achievement has grown to nearly 200,000 members. Junior Achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services, from cutting boards to printing. They're organizing sales efforts, writing marketing plans, calculating profit and loss. Running these small businesses helps Junior Achievers understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business. Call your local Junior Achievement office.
Alex Garth is still an avid investigator of the supernatural. However, he has a curious reluctance to tell people about what he saw during the night he spent in that house on the New England coast. And he never admits that many times in the dead of night, he sees again the face of Lucy, her lover, and the terrible sword of Captain Ephraim Hatch. And he awakens with his mouth open in a soundless scream. Our cast included William Prince, Ralph Bell, Joan Tyson, William Redfield, and Gil Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Are you saying the legend is true that Millie has offended the Beast Goddess and is being punished?
I don't know what I'm saying. But look at her. She's flushed, breathing rapidly. She could burst through that sedative any minute.
Kevin, I'm so hungry.
Try to rest, darling.
I'm going to speak with the hospital in Rio. I'll describe her symptoms. They'll arrange to get her there.
My wrist. Oh, my wrist. Oh,
doctor.
It's burning. Oh,
look at her wrist. Look at her wrist. Something's on it. It's a design. It's the shape of that bracelet.
Kevin, it's your imagination.
Is it? Look. Do you see that symbol? It's on every ornament worn by the goddess. The design decorates her dress.
It's just a raw, ugly scar.
But it's her sign. The sign of the Beast Goddess.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tuned with KOIN. Portland, the time is 12 midnight. Happy Sunday.
CBS News. A meeting takes place today in Washington in connection with the trucker strike. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Governor Milton Schaff of Pennsylvania and representatives of seven other governors are meeting Sunday with federal officials, including Presidential Assistant William Ussery. They'll be talking about ways to deal with the trucker shutdown. Energy Chief William Simon says the strike is now posing serious economic and safety problems for the nation. There are reports that food chains in many parts of the nation may run out of at least some kinds of food to sell this week. Some meatpacking plants are already laying off workers. But in Cleveland, George Wren, the head of the Council of Independent Truckers, denies the drivers are trying to cut off supplies of essential goods.
The food trucks and fuel oil trucks and anything that would cause the public any inconvenience are going through. They're on the roads. We're not only thinking of ourselves. We've already asked in Washington for a price rollback on all petroleum products. That includes gasoline, home heating oils, and everything.
Wren also says he does expect the government to take some action this week regarding the driver's main grievance, which is the price of diesel fuel. I'll have more news after this message.
You're 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard, or maybe even found out for yourself. So we don't intend to give you any advice. You wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who was on a bad trip, or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid, and a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An advertising council campaign.
The White House says on Monday President Nixon will meet with Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko. The meeting in Washington will deal with U.S.-Soviet relations and other international issues. Gromyko is flying to Washington from Havana. He was there accompanying Soviet Communist Party chief Leonid Brezhnev on his trip to Cuba. There's been some speculation in recent weeks that Cuba may want to normalize relations with the United States. Senator Gail McGee, Democrat of Wyoming, says the U.S. government may be taking too tough a line on the matter.
The American position has been a very intransigent one on the whole Cuban question for a very long time. In fact, with the policies of the other Latin American nations, particularly in the Caribbean, in mind, it's conceivable that the U.S. could become the isolated one over the Cuban question. But the position of Mr. Castro has been one of the emotional elements that has made it more difficult for some yielding in American policy.
McGee says the State Department appears very reluctant to even talk about Cuba. Mohammed Haikal has lost his job as the editor of the prestigious Cairo newspaper Al Aram. The publication is considered a semi-official voice of the Egyptian government. Haikal had been editor of Al Aram for 15 years. Sources say he was relieved because he recently ran a series of articles critical of Egyptian foreign policy. President Sadat named Ali Amin the new editor of Al Aram. Amin is a former newspaper editor. Baltimore faces a possible strike Monday by its public school teachers. Their union has been negotiating with the Baltimore School Board. There's no word of any progress. The union for the teachers says it will call a strike if agreement on a new contract is not reached by Monday morning. The Skylab 3 astronauts have found and corrected a problem in the Apollo spaceship that will return them to Earth later on this week. There was an apparent short circuit in the main electrical system on the Apollo space vehicle, but the astronauts on Saturday found it and fixed it. They're going to splash down on Friday after spending a record total of 84 days in space. Now this.
For children growing up in homes without books, there's a special emptiness. A deep down hunger for the world beyond the street corner or playground. A world where they could grow up to become whatever they want to be. The millions of these children will never find out about that world because they'll never know what they can learn in books unless you help. Riff. Reading is fundamental, is helping to get millions of books into the hands of these boys and girls. Books they can choose themselves for keeps. And once a child gets into books, there's no stopping him. More than 150 local RIF programs are proving it in communities like yours. Won't you help RIF help the children in your community? Write to RIF Incorporated. That's RIF, care of Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
A winter storm Saturday dumped 12 inches of snow on parts of Massachusetts. Several inches also fell in Connecticut and Rhode Island. It's also been snowing in New York, and heavy snow warnings are out for New England and New York State. The upper Great Lakes have been getting some snow. There's about a foot on the ground now in Minneapolis-St. Paul. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Truck traffic is reported light in Oregon this weekend, but operators of truck stops say it may be because of a usual weekend road rest taken by drivers. Last week, only about 10% of independent drivers pulled the rigs off the road on the urging of the head of the state's Independent Truckers Association, Harold Taylor. A number of food chains and wholesalers, including Fred Meyer and United Grocers, say they are switching food shipments to trains because of the nationwide truck slowdown. Oregon retailers say Oregonians are shopping as much as they did before the gasoline shortage. They're just changing their habits. Store officials say they see more working people stopping on their way home, more purchases on a single trip, and more buying of warm clothing, fireplace equipment, and leisure items. A 27-year-old Medford man, Wendell Morris Sessions, will be arraigned Tuesday on a murder charge in connection with the shooting of his wife. Police say Sessions was arrested at the home of his father Saturday, where the body of 20-year-old Debbie Lee Sessions was found in a parked car. Well, Saturday was the last day of business at the five-story downtown Portland Roads department store. A sale was held to mark the last day of business after 64 years of operation. Rhodes was recently purchased by the Liberty House department store chain. Governor Tom McCall will head south this week on another third-party presidency bid. McCall goes to California to speak at Stanford University. The governor says he's taking the Oregon message of responsive government to several parts of the nation. Governor McCall says Malheur County in eastern Oregon will go on Mountain Daylight Saving Time this morning to conform with neighboring southern Idaho. McCall says the Secretary of Transportation has moved up the date for the expiration of an exemption granted to Malheur County from the new federal daylight saving time law. The exemption was asked because the Idaho legislature declined to continue its exemption beyond tomorrow. An 11-year-old Klamath Falls girl, Shanna Shearer, will undergo a bone marrow transplant in a Seattle hospital next week. The Campfire Girls in Klamath Falls are using money from their candy sale to help the medical expenses of the fellow member, Shauna. She has received 10 rare type A negative blood transfusions since December 10th for toxic anemia induced by bone marrow depression. The Portland-Vancouver vicinity weather, cloudy overnight with a chance of rain. Rain today, Sunday. Showers Sunday night and Monday. The overnight lows in the low 40s, the highs near 50 degrees. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rain, 30% overnight, 90% today, and 80% Sunday night. It's presently, downtown Portland, 46 degrees. This is George Good, KOIN News.